Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined now with the creator of Hardline, Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. Kevin, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Joe. Boy, you're working overtime this week, aren't you?
Hey, you know, Kevin, you know me. I would talk until they tore the tower down if I had to. I've got enough to say to fill 24 hours.
I do know that it's one of your least endearing qualities.
Yeah, well, I mean, the worst is when you're trying to host a show and I'm still talking to you after break on the other side of the glass. But
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Kevin, you were at the press conference with Tim Kennedy and Hakeem Jeffries on Tuesday. Michael Crocker joined us at 3 o'clock to give his thoughts. What was the intent of the message?
Well, I'll tell you, I as controller of Erie County, I'm particularly concerned about the impact on county government of the Medicaid cuts, the pending Medicaid cuts. I think everyone else has some concerns. I think there are a lot of legitimacy to some of the ideas behind this, some of the principles. Certainly, you know, this is public money and you might want to make sure it's well spent. On the other hand, as they say, the devil is in the detail. And I think some of the details has a lot of people concerned, especially people in the healthcare field. I know that rural hospitals in particular are concerned, but all hospitals, I think, are a little bit wary. And I know from a county standpoint, I'm concerned what this is going to do to our budget in the coming years.
So what exact cuts for people who you know, that they've heard Big Beautiful Bill, they don't know what exactly has been cut from this bill that's going to affect the hospitals and so on?
Well, not a lot of it yet. I mean, much of it was time to take effect after the midterms, you know, either January 1st or right after the midterms late this year. And some of it even a year after that. And I think that was designed to make sure that it didn't impact the midterms any more than it would already. Let me tell you, it's predicted that a lot of people are going to lose their Medicaid for a variety of reasons. Some of them may be valid reasons. Some of them you may say, yeah, we don't want those people receiving Medicaid. Others, you know, involve things like administrative reasons, like the recertification process. Rather than having to recertify, you know, that they meet the income levels and such and such, once a year, they're going to have to do it twice a year, which means that's twice the opportunity for people not to follow through and not to get online and do what they have to do. I mean, I don't know about you, Joe, but there are times that I have applied for warranties online or got on something, applied for a program online and just gotten frustrated with all the, you know, things that were asked and wasn't able to come up with anything and just finally threw up my hands and said, to hell with it. I know that last week I recently changed health care coverage for my wife and myself. And I had to prove that I'm married to my wife, and they wanted me to submit some documents online, including an income tax form and our marriage license now, or marriage certificate. Fortunately, I'm pretty organized, and I knew right where the marriage certificate was, and I was able to find it, and I knew where the tax forms were, and it didn't take me long at all, and the program worked well. I know if that happened to some of my kids, I've got four kids, I know if it happened to two of them, they would be totally lost, and they would have missed the deadlines, and it would have created all sorts of problems, and many people know people like that. Well, if people lose their Medicaid because of that, that's going to come back, and it's going to bite Erie County. Not this year, not next year, but certainly two or three years down the road, because they're going to show up. I mean, they're not going to have Medicaid anymore. They're not going to have any sort of health insurance, and they're going to show up at a hospital. And maybe that hospital is ECMC. In fact, there's a good chance it might be ECMC. We pay about $100 million, give or take, from the county budget every year to ECMC to cover uninsured and underinsured. Okay, there's normally a time lag. The money that I'm approving to be sent over to ECMC today will have been incurred for people who didn't have insurance maybe two, maybe even 3 years ago. There's a process that it has to work through. But regardless, that's $100 million already in taxpayer dollars, county taxpayer dollars, that we pay in to ECMC for uninsured and underinsured. That's only going to increase as people get starting lopped off Medicaid rolls. That amount is going to increase. Now, to put $100 million, I mean, $100 million sounds like a lot, but you say, well, we've got a big budget and all that. We raise about, I don't know, $350 million a year in county property taxes. Everybody knows they pay property tax. Everybody knows how much they are. Everybody knows that they pay too much. Well, if we pay $350 or $340 million in property taxes, and you're sending $100 million out the door, that's like, almost a third of our county property tax levy is going to pay for uninsured and underinsured at ECMC. So, yeah, when they say we're going to start throwing people off the Medicare rolls for a variety of reasons, I'm just saying, well, those people are still going to show up at ECMC, and, we're going to pay for that one way or another.
But I mean, when you look at the people who are going to be kicked off the Medicaid rolls, able-bodied individuals who don't work. I mean, shouldn't we be cutting off assistance to, I work 60 hours a week. The average American works 60 hours a week, Kevin. Shouldn't we be able to say, hey, I'm sorry, you can't sit here and play Madden all day. You got to get a job.
Absolutely, Joe. I don't think there's a lot of resistance to that. But again, as I said, the devil is in the detail. Many of these people who are not going to be able to recertify twice a year, I mean, some of them have trouble recertifying once a year, are people who are, who are working a couple jobs, and then they go out and they take up a shift on Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever, and they've got a kid or two to take care of, and they're just, and it just, they forget to recertify, or they're unable to find the documents, and they're getting thrown off. I mean, a lot of the people that are on Medicaid currently, and a lot of people that unfortunately probably will lose their benefit are the so-called working poor. I mean, there isn't a lot of sympathy, I agree, for people who just sit around and play Madden all day. I don't know of anybody who's going to defend them. But again, the devil is in the detail.
And you're a professor, Kevin. I mean, I was always told by my teachers, by my professors, that you got to be organized. If you're not organized, it's going to bite you in the butt.
I'm also a father, and I have four kids, and two of them are organized and two of them are not. So, and I won't tell them, in case they're listening, which two I think are organized and which aren't. But seriously, I mean, I imagine you know people in your life who work hard, who deserve a decent life, but aren't organized, are constantly losing their Social Security card or their driver's license or misplacing this or misplacing that and filing.
Yes, Kevin, I own a mirror.
Well, there you go.
Hey,
there
but you look, go. Let me ask you. You Joe. But let me ask you about illegal immigrants, because for me, I agree. We shouldn't turn anyone away at a hospital. Obviously, we don't want someone dying because they were denied coverage. But when it comes to an illegal immigrant, you are in the country illegally. I mean, is there a case to be made? If you're not in this country legally, why should any of my tax dollars be going towards you?
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Joe, I think we all can agree that we need comprehensive immigration reform. I hope we can agree on that. But regardless, they're here. And if they show up at ECMC, ECMC is going to treat them. They have to treat them. They're not going to let them die. I mean, you know, we have an outpouring of emotion the last couple of days, as we should, for that poor baby, 2.5-month-old that died. I mean, that was just, you know, horrific. And if, you know, someone shows up at a hospital, you got to treat them. And the way the agreements are now, an agreement going back to the Collins administration in Erie County, we make up the shortfall for ECMC. And we've been doing that. And as I said, it costs us $100 million or so, give or take, every year. And it's increasing. And if these Medicaid cuts stay, then that figure will only increase. You know, so you can be glad, well, we're not giving a Medicaid, but you're going to be paying for it through your county property taxes, unfortunately.
So regardless, they're still going to be they're still going to be using our tax dollars.
Yeah, and I don't take any joy in telling you that. I'm just saying that that's how I see it as Erie County Comptroller.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned a story we talked about for 2 hours yesterday, and that is the ruling from the county judge. I don't know how much you can comment on this, being in Erie County government, but are you disappointed in the judge's ruling?
I think your gut reaction is that's terrible. These people should be in jail. I don't know what the judge was looking at, so I'm not going to comment. I'm sure there must have been extenuating circumstances. In the end, I think if any of us were a judge, we would want to deter this sort of behavior in the future. We don't want 2.5-month-old infants dying because of neglect. We have an entire unit of county government that works hard day in and day out. And most of the time, almost all the time, they get it right to try to prevent that sort of thing. We're all saddened by this. But yeah, I don't know what the judge was looking at, so I'm not going to comment on that.
Kevin Hardwick, he is the Erie County Comptroller, and he is one of only two Democrats who I feel comfortable asking this next question, and that is, Kevin, is the Democratic Party going socialist?
I think certainly a wing of it is. Yeah, there's no question about it, and they're doing quite well downstate, down in the New York City area. I think the folks upstate and certainly in Western New York are a little bit more, you know, centrist. And that's not to say that everybody is. But, you know, it's a fairly big tent. So it takes all types. The Republican Party used to be the big tent. That was what Reagan, you know, during those years we talked about a big tent. But now I think it's the Democratic Party.
I would argue the Republican Party is the bigger tent since 2024. But we can have that discussion at a different time.
I'm not going to get into a tent conversation.
No, I would just say I think there are certain things that in 2024 were not on a Republican agenda that had always been because of Trump. I think Trump brought people who would never have voted Republican before into the Republican Party. But let me ask you, because you know politics.
Absolutely, Joe. You're right on that. And, you know, the big question is there a realignment going on in American politics? And if so, how big is that realignment? What's it look like? And I think, you know, I think we're starting to get answers to that question.
Let me ask you, Kevin, because you know politics better than everybody. With those pockets of socialism, do you think that's bad nationally for the party? Because I think we can agree, socialism nationally, it's not going to win the Midwest. It's not going to win a presidential election in 2028. Do you think the socialist candidates that want to abolish the Senate, abolish the president, do you think that's going to hurt the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I certainly do. And on the whole, because, you know, Republicans are going to make people who are way out on the far left the poster childs for what they say is a Democrat looks like, in the same way that Democrats will take the most far right Republican, the craziest nut out on the right, and say that's what that's what your typical Republican looks like. And we both know that neither one of those characterizations caricatures are accurate.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting because I've been looking. I mean, you know, obviously President Trump's approval is what Bush's was when he left office in 2008. But the Democrats are more unpopular than President Trump. So nationally, it does seem like both parties are unpopular.
And believe me, there are people in both houses who are concerned about that. Your average Republican politician is worried about being painted with broad brush of many of the people way out on the far right. The same goes for people, your average Democrat.
Kevin, I have one more question, and I don't know how much you can answer on this, and I'm sorry I didn't give you a heads up, but the state comptroller released the audit of the town of Amherst. Is this something the county has followed up on?
I have not seen it, Joe. No.
Okay. I didn't know how that worked. Like if the state goes through your office or if they conduct their own business.
No. In most cases, we would not get a sneak peek at their audits, but they do very fine audits.
All right. Kevin, I will ask you one more question. What's your, I know I'm going to ask you this question like four more times on air. What is your prediction for the midterms? Do you think it's a clean sweep? Do you think we're going to have a split house in Washington after November? How are you looking at this right now?
I think certainly Democrats will pick up the House. The question is, there's so many variables with the Senate and it just gets crazier and crazier. I have no idea what's going to happen there. And, you know, what, 96, 97 days is an eternity. I mean, think about what's happened in the last couple weeks, with the death of Lindsey Graham and what's going on with Mitch McConnell and everything else that's happening.
It is. I mean, a week in politics these days, Kevin, is an eternity. But I appreciate your friendship, and I always appreciate you willing to come on the air and answer my questions. Like I said, there's three Democrats: you, Nowakowski, and Nowak. I feel like I can ask anything, and you guys won't stop returning my phone calls. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Joe.
Thank you so much. That is Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.